Jesus told Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Verse 28, when she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she arose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said to her, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, how could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around me, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The man who had died came out, his hands and his feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he had did and believed in him, but some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, what are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. Read that far. May God bless that reading from his holy word. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to gather with your people to worship you, to exalt your name, to lift high your praise. We thank you for those who have been able to lead us in singing your praise. We thank you for the gifts given to them, and we ask you to bless them as they lead us. We pray that you'd help us to worship you in spirit and in truth, to come and trust and believe in you as the living God, the creator of the universe, but also as the one who says, I am the resurrection and the life. And we pray that today we would believe this, each one of us here, we would walk out the door believing that you are the resurrection and the life. And that if we believe and we are with you, we will never die, but we will live eternally. Because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've been watching the news or reading the papers, you would have seen there's been this big tangi on this week. Back up in my territory, where I come from a bit, up in Tallaga Bay with Parikura Horomia. And big funeral going on most of the week. And thousands of people coming to pay their respects in Tallaga Bay. And I don't know, if, as you watch that, as you witness that, it maybe has reminded you of the last funeral that you were at. It may have been somebody very close to you, somebody that you love deeply. And maybe those memories are still very strong with you, very raw memories. That shock, that feeling of shock when you first heard or when you first knew that this person had passed away, that sense of overwhelming grief, that cry that comes out of you that you can't control. And then that sadness, that lingering sadness, and sometimes even a bit of depression that can follow on from that. And then the gradual road to smile comes back into your face again as that passes, the time begins to heal. You maybe know what that feeling is, or maybe just thinking of death is something that kind of scares you anyway. And if you'd be honest to admit that, if you said that it strikes fear into your heart. Maybe, you know, you've been to see the doctor and the doctor has that worried frown on their face as they look at you and they go, Or maybe those lab results that come back, those test results that say, there's something here, we need to go back for some more tests. Or maybe you have to go in for surgery and, you know, they come and they read you the Riot Act, they come and they say, all right, we're going to do the surgery. These are the risks. You have to sign. You have to sign along the dotted line here. And here's the risks. These are the percentages. These are the chances. And that's a frightening thing. And if you're a hypochondriac, of course, that can be debilitating. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, I googled my results. And now it's got me all worried. I said, don't Google. I did that once. I googled hypochondria, and I came out and I decided that I was a hypochondriac. That's what I know. Google the symptoms of hypochondria. Hypochondria is when you worry about your health all the time. Google that one. So it's a reality, isn't it? Because that death is something that is there, isn't it? And when you get sick, you don't know. Is this going to be a serious sickness? And there's a good reason for this. It is because death is not natural. You know, despite what evolutionists will tell you, that, you know, we're sort of biological organisms that grow up and then we die and then we become compost and for something else to grow. Or reincarnationists, that we're going to just get reborn as somebody or something or somehow else. It's not the fact. But death is not natural to us. We weren't born to die. It's an unnatural thing, and that's why it's a curse. If you read the Bible, we're told that death is a curse that came on the human race because of our sin, because of our rebellion. God said to Adam and Eve, he said, the day that you eat of the fruit, you will surely die. And of course they died, spiritually and also finally physically. And so that is why as Christians it's a wonderful thing to be able to stand at the head of a grave where a loved one has been lowered into that grave and be able to say, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who lives and believes in me will never die. Because a Christian has a completely different view of death from what most other people. A lot of people think that when you die, that's it. It's over. Kind of like, you know, playing one of those games and it says, what? When you die too many times or you lose all your health or something like that, it says, game over. And you go, I've got no more coins. I can't keep playing. Game over. That's it. But for somebody who reads the Bible and knows the Lord Jesus Christ and trusts in him, it's a completely different thing, isn't it? So here we have a death in this family. This is a close family. Mary, Martha, Lazarus, two sisters and their brother. Lazarus, he gets sick and they send a message to Jesus saying, Jesus, the one you love, he's sick. They want Jesus to come and do something because Jesus, they know Jesus really loves Lazarus. But we're told that instead of jumping on his donkey or putting on his sandals and getting there as quick as he can, Jesus waits for two more days. Because he loves Lazarus, he waits two more days, and then he goes to the village, to Bethany. Now it's a dangerous journey because there are people who are out to get to Jesus, and his disciples think he's a little bit mad to do that. They say, you know, there are people trying to kill you, and you know, this is too dangerous. But Jesus says, I'm going to go now. And so when he gets to Bethany, or as he gets close to the village, Martha, one of the sisters, she comes out to see Jesus, and she says, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. You imagine how that would have felt, how hard that would have felt for Jesus. In effect, she's saying, you didn't come quick enough, Jesus. You didn't respond. You didn't hear our prayer. We prayed and we asked you to come and rescue Lazarus, and you didn't come. And he's died. And she says, she half expresses some hope. Maybe she heard what Jesus had said to the messengers. But she said, you know, but I know, verse 22, but even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. She remembers the words. Maybe she's thinking of verse 4 when Jesus said, this illness does not lead to death, but it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. So maybe she's hoping that that Jesus will perform this impossible thing. But I think her hope, though, has diminished. It's a very slim hope. Why? Because Lazarus, not only hasn't just died, he's been dead for how many days? Yeah, awesome. 4 days. Jesus has been dead for 4 days, and many of the Jewish people believe that the spirit would linger near the body, and when it saw decay beginning to set in, it would go, it would leave. Right. So they thought, Martha would have thought, there's no hope now, there's nothing left. And so Jesus says, you know, Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus says to her, your brother, verse 23, your brother will rise again. And she says, I know he will rise again at the resurrection on the last day. She believes in the resurrection. She believes that God can raise his people up again. But Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. You see, Martha understands that Jesus is talking about the last day, that Jesus will raise Lazarus up at the last day, the day of judgment. But Jesus is speaking about the last day, but he's also speaking about the present. When he says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am, this is verses 25 and 26 I want you to look at. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And so what Jesus is saying actually here is quite surprising. Think about this. What Jesus is saying is this. A Christian is someone who will never die but will live forever. A Christian is someone who will never die but live forever. That's really the sort of the guts of what he's saying here. And I want us to unpack this a little bit. Because what we're looking at here, the situation is this. A Christian has died, and the family who love him are grieving deeply. But what Jesus is trying to teach them is, he's trying to comfort them and teach them that there is more than to the situation than meets the eye. Lazarus is actually going on living, and he will also be raised up at the last day. And of course, it teaches us too that there's only one person who can do that, and that is God himself. And so when Jesus says, I'm going to raise Lazarus, he's showing us who he really is. Okay? So I want us to look at this. Just there's two things. The future hope and also the present reality of Jesus being the resurrection and the life. When Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, there's a future hope here, and there's also a present reality. So Lazarus, the first thing is this. Lazarus, this one that Jesus, he loved, and they loved Jesus, he's dead. And it's something that nobody can avoid. Like, I can't remember, I was reading a book, and the guy said, you know, when he was a kid growing up in the 1950s in England, he said that he never was allowed to go to a funeral until he was about 20 years old. Why? Because people didn't want to talk about death. It was not a polite thing to talk about. It wasn't a good thing to discuss. It wasn't something that anybody wanted to really hear. It made people feel uncomfortable. And so children, you know, mum and dad would go off to a funeral. They would just go out and leave the kids behind. And they would go, what's going on? That's strange. My uncle, my auntie, they were here. They're just gone. They've disappeared. What's happened to them? They've left. Because people, you know, the children didn't understand about death. So we spend a lot of time trying to avoid death or ignore death or not talk about death. But it's just something that we can't avoid. It's there, isn't it? In fact, the fact that you're alive guarantees one thing, doesn't it? That you're going to die one day. Everybody. Nobody can say, well, you're not talking about me, Jeff, you know, like, that's not me. You know, it's not going to happen to me. It's just a reality, isn't it? And it's important that we understand that, and we face that, and we deal with that. You know, you think of a, and I didn't know my sister-in-law was going to be here, but you think of a grandmother holding her grandson or granddaughter in her arms, and she knows that one day, you know, she's going to depart and leave this grandson or this grandchild, and that also one day that same grandson or grandchild will be in the same situation as their grandchild is, because we grow older and we pass away, we die. The Bible is very honest about this, you know, and it, even as a Christian, this is a big thing. It's not, you know, sometimes people say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm not afraid of dying, you know, I'm not afraid of death. Well, yes, but the Bible does talk about the valley of the shadow of death. The Bible does talk about the last enemy. What is that? The last enemy is death. And so it is a big thing. You may not be terrified of it, but it's still a big thing. It's something you have to deal with. I think there was a comedian who said, I'm not afraid of dying. I just don't want to be there when it happens. Woody Allen. Yeah, that's right. So, you know, you can't avoid it. So everybody is going to die at some point. And in fact, you know, we spend billions trying to avoid death. Society does. We spend billions trying to make ourselves look like we're not dying. And then suddenly we die. It's like, how did that young person die? Well, actually, they were 85 years old. They just looked young. So, you know, what does it mean for a Christian? Well, there's two realities. One is this: you will die, even as Christians, you will die. But the fact is that dying is not the end. And that's what Jesus is getting at here. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. What does Jesus mean? Yes, you're going to die. He's not denying that, but he's saying this. You're going to live. Death for you is not the end. Death for you is not just the grave. Death for you is not just the sort of the final chapter. Death is actually entrance into life. So what he's saying is that the person who dies, the person who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ, actually they enter into life. The Shorter Catechism says this. It asks the question, what benefits do believers receive from Christ at death? And the answer is this: the souls of believers are at their death made perfect in holiness and do immediately pass into glory, and their bodies, being still united to Christ, do rest in their graves till the resurrection. But this part here: the souls of believers are at their death made perfect in holiness and do immediately pass into glory. You know the story of the rich man and Lazarus. This was another Lazarus that Jesus told. He told the story about these two guys, who one is a rich man who has all the food, all the fun, and there's a poor man at his gate who's begging. The dogs are coming and licking his sores. That's how poor he is. And they both die. And it says that the rich man, he goes to hell. But the poor man, Lazarus, it says he is in the arms of Abraham. He goes into the presence of God immediately. And so when Jesus talks about Lazarus here dying, you notice what does he say? He says Lazarus has what? He has fallen asleep. But I am going to go to what? Wake him up. Now, the disciples are a little bit dense, and they go, oh, well, if he's asleep, that's a good thing. He'll wake up and feel better, you know. But Jesus is saying, no, Lazarus has died. But notice how he describes it. He has fallen asleep. He's fallen asleep in the arms of Jesus. He has gone into the presence of God. You know, long time before Jesus, a guy called Job, he says, for I know that my Redeemer lives and he will rise on the earth at the last, and even after they corrupt my skin, yet this, in my flesh I will see God. Meaning he's going to see the Lord when he dies after his body passes away. And so what is the death for a Christian? What does it mean to die as a Christian? It means falling asleep and waking up in the arms of Jesus. It is closing your eyes in death and opening them to look on the face of the Lord. And so Jesus is saying, yes, Lazarus has passed away. Yes, your brother has died. But he's alive right now. It hasn't finished for him. It isn't game over. Now, of course, Jesus goes on and he does something here. He says, actually, I'm going to raise. He raises Lazarus again, and that's a miracle, isn't it? He goes and speaks, and Lazarus comes out of the tomb. And it's kind of like Jesus does this miracle to say, I want you people to understand that this is what is going to happen to you all at the end. But I'm going to do one now for you, all right? Just so you can see what it's like. And if you wonder what the resurrection is going to be like, if you wonder how it's going to happen, I'll do one now for you. You know, sometimes we do that when you're showing somebody how to do something. You say, this is how you do it, all right? This is what it looks like. This is how you lock the door or unlock the door. This is how you make scones. I'll do one for you now so you can see, and you can then you know how it's going to happen. How to do the rest. Well, Jesus says, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus comes out. He's alive. It's a miracle. It's amazing. It's like Jesus does something that we know is only going to happen at the end of time. He brings it right into our time. He says, look, guys, this is how it's going to work. And so not only when a believer dies, do their souls go to be with the Lord, and they fall asleep and they wake up in the arms of Jesus, but also their bodies, when we lay their body in the grave, we don't put it in the grave and go, well, that's it. You know, like, you know, I was saying to somebody the other day, sometimes people say, oh, you know, my body, it's just an envelope for my soul, or my body is just a container and my body's not really important. And I say to those people, well, why don't you put the bodies of your loved ones out for the recycling then? If that was the case, why didn't you just put it out on the side of the road? We don't do that, do we? We take the body of our loved ones and we treat them with respect and care, and we grieve over them and we mourn, and quite rightly we do that, because that is that person, that is the loved one. They are body and soul. their spirit has departed to be with the Lord, but we still bestow our love and our respect upon what remains. And so we lay the body in the grave. Why do we put the body in the grave? It's a great image, isn't it? What do you do when you want to grow a plant? Children, tell me, what do you want to do when you want to grow a bean? Have you anybody grown a bean? Or corn? Yeah? What do you do with it? You grow it. Where do you put it? Do you just put it up on the windowsill or in the back seat of the car? Or? Pardon? In the garden, in the ground. Okay, you plant it in the ground, don't you? And so when a believer passes away, we take their bodies and we plant it in the ground, don't we? Why? For the resurrection. For it to grow up again at the resurrection. We don't go, that's the body, it's just we needed to dig a deep hole to get rid of that one. As a Christian, that's why we stand and we say, I am the resurrection and the life, as we lower the body into the ground for the resurrection. There's a small cemetery up on the coast at a place called Te Puia Springs. And on the grave site, on the grave it says, precious dust. Now that's my uncle. My uncle he passed away in 1933. Makes me sound ancient. He was 2 months old. His name was John. And when my granny put him in the ground, when they put him there, they said, precious dust. Isn't that great? Precious dust. Laying him there for the resurrection, for his body to be raised again at the last day. And that's what, as Christians, we look forward to that. Our souls go immediately to be with the Lord, and our bodies, as it says in the catechism, it says, are still do rest in the grave till the resurrection. So Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me, though he die, he shall live, and everyone who lives and believes shall never die. Do you believe this? And this is the other thing. This is the second thing. So first of all, it's your future hope, okay? For every Christian, if you're a Christian today, this is your future, okay? Your souls go to be with the Lord, and your bodies will be raised. The second thing is this, though, it is a present reality. Notice what Jesus says. When he says to Martha, when he speaks to Martha, he doesn't say to her in verse 25, I will be the resurrection, does he? What did he say to her? He said, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. Okay? Now there's I think somebody said there's seven I ams. Okay? Seven I am statements in the Bible. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He doesn't say, I will be. He's saying right now, I am the light of the world. He doesn't say, I will be the good shepherd. He says, I am right now the good shepherd. He doesn't say, I will be the door of the sheep. He says, I am the door. He doesn't say, I will be the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he says to you now, I am the resurrection and the life. What he's saying to you is that this is something for you now, not just one day. This is something for a Christian now that they need to know and understand and get a hold of. There's a couple of things that come out of this. The first of all, it's this thing. It's a negative thing. There is no life and resurrection outside of Jesus. There is no life and resurrection outside of Jesus. Jesus is saying, when he says, I am the resurrection and the life, he's saying, I am the only resurrection and the life. Okay, there's only one way to receive eternal life, and there is only one way to be raised again. That is through me. It's Jesus. That's the first thing. It's the only way. It's a great thing. It's a great comfort. Just when I was heading down to Gisborne last week. I think it was last week. Can't remember really. All blurring into one. I called in Tauranga to see dear friends of mine, Doug and Ray Winataida. And he's had this lung cancer now for two Christmases. And he's dying. He's a dying man now. He says the hospital has discharged me, and I'm now with the hospice. And we had a precious time together. But the thing with my friend Doug is that he knows what is going to happen to him, because he's a believer. He trusts in the Lord. He's entrusted his life to the Lord Jesus. So he knows that when he breathes that last breath and finally his body releases its spirit, he goes to be with the Lord Jesus. And his life is bound up with the Lord. He has eternal life now. He's trusting in Christ now, and he continues to live with Christ even though his body ceases to function. And that one day he will be raised again with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a great comfort. He's living by that now. Okay, he's not saying, well, you know, I hope that when I die, Jesus is going to be my life and my resurrection. That's not going to help him a lot, is it, now? But now he's saying, Jesus is my hope. Jesus is my life. Jesus is my resurrection. Because Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And so there is a full and a full life and a certain resurrection in Christ Jesus. For the one who falls asleep in the arms of Jesus, there is eternal life. Though your breath might be cut short, there is certainty. And so it means that the one who lives and believes in Jesus today, that life goes on and it doesn't stop. That's why he says those amazing words, okay? And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Okay, what he's saying is that, in a sense, yes, your body will stop for every one of you one day. But it's dying. You have life, you have eternal life, and you will carry on living with me. That won't change. It will never change, because I am the resurrection and I am the life. And so the one who lives and believes in Jesus will never die. She will never die. But they fall asleep and wake up in the arms of the Lord Jesus. The victory of death is vanquished. And that is why we read in the Bible, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. So what does this mean? Well, this is something that has to be believed. Notice how Jesus puts this to Martha. He says, you know, I am the way, I am the resurrection and the life. You know, Jesus is not saying to Martha, Martha, you know, I know your brother Lazarus has died, and I know that you're grieving, but I just want you to know that Lazarus, he's in a better place. I just want you to know that he's in that happy land in the sky, and he's got a harp, and he's got a cloud to sit on or something like that. He's not saying, Martha, I just want you to feel good about this right now, and I just want to comfort your sadness. He's actually not doing that. Notice what he does. He says, now you may, like, this is a grief situation, okay? Normally we are very sensitive about what we say to people, don't we, when people are in deep grief. We don't challenge people. We don't ask people to do things for us. But Jesus says, he says to her, do you believe this? Do you believe this, Martha? In other words, this is not just some, what we call platitudes, not just some nice sounding words to make Martha feel better. This is something that Martha needs to believe. And that you and I need to believe. This is a truth to be grabbed hold of and live today. This is a present reality. Jesus, if Jesus is the resurrection and the life, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you base your life on that statement, on that truth, on that reality? Is that something that you have now? Well, you're not just saying, well, it'll be nice One day, I hope that I understand that. This is something to experience now. Because the fact is this, if you don't know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life now, today, if you don't believe that today, it ain't going to happen for you. Okay? If you don't believe it and trust it now, it's not a reality in your life. And you can't claim it for yourself. And so Jesus says to you, do you believe it? And Martha's confession, it's wonderful, isn't it? You know, we give Martha a hard time sometimes, don't we? We say, Martha, she was the one who was in the kitchen all the time. And oh, she was hoo-ha with Mary because Mary wasn't out there and Mary was just listening to Jesus. And Martha wasn't spiritually minded. Well, I don't think so. She says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Now, if any of you came to me and said to me, Jeff, this is what I believe about Jesus, I would say, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's great. That's a great confession. I believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. So, Christian, listen to me. You are alive now, but you are more alive than you know. Because now, if you are alive as a Christian, you have eternal life that will never be taken away from you. And you know that death is not the end for you. It is not a terror that is just going to wipe out your life. It cannot take your life away from you, Christian. Death for you is defeated. Death is defeated. Earth isn't your final destination, a hole in the ground. And you know what? Even heaven isn't your final destination. It's not the final bus stop, okay, where you get off the bus. You go there for a time, but then you get on the bus to the new heavens and the new earth. And when your new body is raised and you're reunited with your body and you, again, as you were, but glorified body and soul, you live on the new heavens and the new earth. That's the final destination. That's the final bus stop for you. And so you can live in hope. You know, you can live for Christ. You can live saying, yes, I know that one day I will meet my Maker. But I'm not living in fear. I'm not living in dread. I'm not terrorized by that. I'm not petrified. I'm not paralyzed. I'm not overwhelmed by that. I'm living knowing that I'm with Christ, come what may. And I live with him, and I will live with him. I will never die. I will always be with him, and I'm here to serve him so that one day I can glorify him. If you're a non-Christian today, if you don't believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't claim those things for yourselves, for yourself. The Bible just says one thing. It says, without God, and without, what? Hope. Without hope. Without God and without hope in this world. Well, Martha's confession was great. What is your confession? Is your confession like Martha's? I believe that you are the Christ. If that is your confession, Jesus has given you eternal life that will never be taken away from you. And he will raise you up again at the last day. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that we can base our lives on. Thank you that as your children, death is not the end for us, but we have eternal life and we will always live. Because you have given us life. Because you are the resurrection and the life. And the one who lives and the one who believes in you will never die. But they go to be with you. We will go to be with you, Lord, until the resurrection, when you raise our bodies again, so that we can serve you and honor you and glorify you in the way that you made us to do, in all fullness of soul and body. that you would receive the glory and the honor. Thank you for your promises. Help us to believe this. Help us to trust you. Give us the faith to live our lives based on this reality. Because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.